facility.
So thank you very much, and thank you very much. Thank you very much for the invitation to this marvelous place. So I'm going to explain things in a minute, but this is, so this is a picture of an associator in Dimensions 2. And roughly the goal of my talk is to explain how to extend this picture, so this construction in dimension bigger than 2, larger than 2. So it's again the Ian apparatus, which is the main object I'm going to explain. So I need to introduce my talk. I would like to briefly explain what is the idea of Ian apparatus, what is it for. I'll give a more explicit definition later on. Just say for the moment that Ian apparatus is an object, a device. So we have no good definition so far. What we just have is a reference model. So it's called the part of little n disks or cubes. So I'll give the definition of this part in a couple of minutes. And this roughly this is used to encode a hierarchy of homotopy commutative structures. So n goes from 1 to infinity, and E1 apparatus encode structures which are associative in the strongest homotopical sense, but not commutative at all. And if you go up to n equals infinity, then you get structures that are fully homotopy associative and commutative. And so we like to address two problems. I expect the motivation in the next slide. First problem is to give an intrinsic characterization of the class of field of class, but to characterize them in terms of the reference model. So, in some sense, that's the purpose of today's talk. And there is another problem to understand spaces of homotopy automorphism of this object, of these guys. So, in some sense, these are spaces. They encode the internal symmetries of this homotopy commutative structures. Maybe I could say that in the case where n is 2, this guy that you can see, then it's a solidary product of SO2 rationalization, at least rationally. The same thing as SO2. Solidaric product with GT, the polypotent quantum detachment. Okay, so that's a statement. And on, I don't remember when, but later on during this workshop, Thomas Vivara, we explain how to determine these guys by using graph complex technology. Okay, so just to give a few motivations of the little disk apparatus and the EM apparatus have been introduced in topology in the late 60s. And the purpose was to understand and for loop spaces. So it's a work by Portman Cott and Peter May. And then for loop space at the base point is just a set of base maps, base space, so X is base space, base point. Nomogram of X, just the space of base match from Sn to X. The space of match which carries the vector of Sn to X. And the point that this kind of spaces are actually detected as some kind of complicated algebraic structure and that you can encode in terms of EN apparatus. And this structure is enough to reconstruct the structure of such spaces. So the idea is to recognize the class of spaces in terms of an algebraic structure. But now we have new application of EN apparatus outside topology, among which we have some application in mathematical physics. So first I'd like to mention the second generation of proofs of Concevich formality theorem. So It's the formative theorem which gives the existence of deformation quantizations. And so you have a first proof which is given by an explicit formula. You have a second generation of proofs which relies on an interpretation of joint field associators in terms of formality quasi-isomorphic for Chinese turbulence. So it's more or less it's related to the two-dimensional picture which I would like to generalize in this case. And significantly, this new argument, this new proof of existence of deformation quantization, has hinted the existence of an action of a quantum detached neural group of modular spaces of deformation quantizations. And now I would like to say that there are also some higher dimensional generalization of this deformation quantization construction, which are due to Bertrand Toine and his co-workers. Okay, so it's given in terms of representations. And there are also new applications of EMR Pratt, so there are a bunch of new applications. So you have things which is, for instance, the factorization homology, which is a new homology theory for manifolds, which is based on structures which are related to EMR Pratt, to written disk Pratt. And you have also application of EMR Pratt in the study of spaces of compactly supported embedded modular versions. So I would like to mention two results. So MC is this space. So, so in some sense, it's a generalization of a space of long knots. So MC, so in dimension one, this is the space of knots, which are trivial outside a compact subset of R. We can generalize this concept for, so we consider embeddings from Rm to Rn, and the bar stands for you are working modular direction of immersions. Okay, so you are taking some kind of modified. The map just carries this of the embedding from this space to a space of immersions. And the first result by Aron and Torchin, or a simple result, which extends some former result by Lambrecht and Volich and Torchin and so on, which says that you can compute this space in terms of some kind of function space of abelian bimodules from EM to EN. So it gives the first description in terms of this space, of the homotopy of this space in terms of EM apart. And there is another result which says that this space, so in that case I should say for this statement you need this convergence to phase. You need this assumption here. Oops. So to get this statement. And in general, but you can again more, you can see moreover that this space is homotopy equivalent to the M plus one from group space on the function space on uprights on this one. Okay, so it's this theorem of layer S.
Okay. Does this say anything about knots for M equals one?
For M equals one, but you get, yeah, so you have some convergence problems. What you get is something which is basically so knots. Usual knots, you take n equals 1, and
n equals 1,
and n equals 3, okay? And then you have convergence problems. It's more or less related to the, what you get is, a, so what you get is something which is, so generally you get some kind of the limit of a Goodwillie Taylor tower, and in this lower dimensional case, it's related to the space of ACF invariants. Okay, so it's some kind of generalization of this CDF environment construction. Okay. So it's this is some strong motivations to say that ENR products and function spaces of between ENR product as well as homotopy automorphism spaces between ENR. So I'm not going to talk about the subjects. So the purpose of my talk today is, as just mentioned, is to explain some kind of generalizations of a formative theorem. So we have a first statement which, so don't be afraid of this theorem. I would like to explain every word in it. So it's a rational homotopy theory interpretation of Dreyfeld associator. So maybe you know what the Dreyfeld associator is algebraically. And in homotopical setting, what you can see is that any Dreyfeld rational associator can be used to produce such a zigzag. So D2 is the little 2 discrete prime, which I will record the definition in 2 slides. Here, what I need is, I can't work with D2 directly, what I need is to pick a good resolution, so this is what this R2 denotes, so it's something which generally exists, you don't have to care much about that. And the associator gives a map here, which relates this resolution to this object. So D2 is an upright in topological spaces, so it's based on a collection of spaces. It has a rational cohomology. And what you can do by using rational homotopy theory is to take this rational cohomology back to the category of spaces. So you get a space, and you get actually an upright in spaces, which is deduced from the rational cohomology of this guy, D2. And what I'm going to explain is that rational associator gives a map which relates this topological guy, this genuine E2 upright, to something that you can determine from the cohomology of this object. Okay? And determines it means determine not to torsion. This is that you have a map here, which induces an isomorphism in homotopy if you neglect torsion phenomena. So that's what the rational homotopy statement means.
Can you explain a bit more what is the right-hand side? So this is at the
bottom. I'm going to explain also what is the right-hand side. So the first part of my talk, I will give some recursion of D2. And then I'm going to recall what is this cohomology,
this is a topological space, yes?
It's a topological
except
space.
Except only rational homology.
Sorry?
It has only rational homology.
Yeah. So if you take rational homotopy, rational cohomology, what I'm going to explain at some point in my talk, that you can, so it's a question of commutative algebras, you can take these commutative algebras back to the category of spaces, so that's the Sullivan rational homotopy theory that we do. Okay, so this is what I'm going to explain.
But isn't this cohomology the cohomology of braid groups, ordinary braid groups?
Yeah, the classic length space of
it's just, the cohomology of
Okay, so
for equals 2.
Yeah, it's the cohomology of a pure white group.
Yeah.
So it's also a topic which I would like to recall. And now the goal is to get some kind of higher dimensional generalization of this picture. So we have a statement by Koncevich, which you can also give a rational homotopy for interpretation. And it says that you have something similar between the upright of little n disk in dimension n larger or equal to 2, and you have a map, you have a formality map, which relates E or M to something which you determine from the cohomology of the spaces, but this is only defined over R. Okay. So I'm going to explain that to you. Maybe later on. So the question, there is still a question, does this map go down to Q? And you have actually with Thomas a very strong statement, which implies that a rational formality map does exist for all dimensions. Okay. So this is the statement. So you start with an upright in topological spaces, you need some technical assumptions. So you assume that this upright has the same cohomology as the upright of little disk for some n bigger than 3. And there is also a technical point in some cases, when 4 divides n, then we need the next fast structure which is given by an involutive isomorphism So this is something, so the definition of this invertible isomorphism will be clear in very little this picture, which I'm going to explain in 2 slides. And I will claim that as soon as you have this assumption, then this apparat, P, is rationally equivalent to something that you determine from the cohomology of little this. So, okay, so we are again, so you need to pick a coherent resolution. You don't have a direct map in general. You can only produce a zigzag of equivalences. And you have a map which goes from this coherent resolution to this thing due to a termine from the cohomology of little this. And this map is getting some kind of rational homotopy equivalence. Okay, so I'm going to, this is the statement I'm going to explain in 2 hours. And so this implies as a corollary that we do have a rational counterpart of conserved formative map. Okay? But I should say it's a stronger statement. It says basically that this class of EN operators, if you neglect torsion phenomena, is entirely determined by their cohomology up to this extra data. Okay, so that's the goal. Make you understand this claim and how it generalizes the algebraic definition of Drenfeld associator in the two-dimensional case. Okay, so it's my plan. So in the first part, as I said, so you first give a brief recreation of the definition of an apparat, what it is. So I have 2 slides on that, and maybe we'll just give 1 slide. Then I explain this picture, the very simple picture of the little disk of part. Then I will explain what does this cohomology of the little disk of part looks like, how it is related to the cohomology of purebred groups. And also I'm going to explain it's also related to an apparat which encode great Poisson algebra structures. And then I'm going to explain these constructions. I mean this functional homotopy construction which takes the cohomology and returns a space, a prior space. Okay. And then I will be able to restate the intrinsic formality from. Okay. And so that's the first part. Okay. The next part, I will do. So I continue this topic. So the first point I'm going to explain how the classical things like Drenfeld Kronoli algebras occur in this subject. And there is also some point we need to. How to explicitly compute this space here in terms of more Cartan simplified sets. I hope I will have time to give some hints about the proof of the intrinsic formality. Okay, so first part. So what is an apparat? So we've got some slides, because I assume that not everyone knows what it is exactly, so maybe I have only 1 slide, I have a 2nd slide, but I will expect the 2nd slide on the blackboard, because the 2nd slide gives the intuition of this subject. So in that part, basically, P, it's something which encodes the abstract structures defined by a collection of operations, x1, x, on R variables, x1, x. Okay. So it's a collection of objects, which formed by such sets of operations. Okay, so it's a collection of objects. So it's defined in symmetric mode of categories. So maybe I would like to, in parallel to the general definition, I'd like to explain the fundamental example. So M is an object of your category. So M, for instance, we can take M to be the category of K modules of our program. In the fundamental example of an apparat, the apparat is called the endomorphism apparat of M. And the R component of this object is the vector space, the K-module of all multilinear maps from M to R towards gets a set of map which maps a tensor, yeah, to an element, fx1 is R. Okay, so as I said, so an operand is something which formalizes the structure from correction of abstract operations in R variables. So in this fundamental example, you take all such operations that you can define on N. All maps, which takes an R tuple, all multilinear maps, which takes an R tuple of elements of M to another element of M. And it is equipped with some structure. So we have first an action of a symmetric group. So in this case, in this example, if you take S a permutation, and if you make it act on some f, so the value of this is the function SF, so it's just given by the permutation of inputs. Okay, S dot f evaluated at x1 xr. Just f of x, xs1, xs1. And what you also have are composition operations. And we, in the Verprat context, we focus on composition operation of this form. So it takes an element in pk, an element in pl, so an operation in k variables, an operation in on n variables, and returns an operation on k plus n minus 1 variables. Okay. And basically, it's defined by plugging in this operation on n variables with the i-th input of this operation. Okay. So in this example, g, if you take two such operations, okay, so if you assume that m an operation of k, k inputs, g has a inputs, and what you get is an operation with the map of k plus n minus 1 inputs. It is defined by taking f of x1, xi minus 1, you plug g in the I input of f, so you apply g to xi, xi plus l minus 1, and xi plus l, and at the end you get an operation with k plus l minus 1 by. Okay, so you perform some kind of degree shift in the inputs of G to get something which is still multilinear and which has the right number of variables. And this operation satisfies some natural equivalence unit and associativity relation. So basically what you have to remember is this fundamental example, and the general notion of an operator is something which say that you can forget about this interpretation, okay, and just remember the abstract structures formed by such operations. Okay. And maybe what you could say that an operand M, P, you say that P acts on some objects if you have an operand map. So it's a map which carries an element of PR, so maybe it's not the same P. So it's a map. So if you have an operand map, so it's I have to say what is an operand morphism. So it's a collection of maps from R to N. Oops, sorry. sunfish carries any abstract operation in R. An operation which can take an actual operation on M, so the sunfish can take R inputs of M and returns an element of M. It turns out that many categories of algebras can be encoded in terms of operat action. For instance, there is an operation, there is an operat S, so that giving an action of S on some object amounts to providing this object an associative algebra structure. There is an operat COM, which has the same property with respect to commutative algebras and so on. Okay, so this is this the operation of this fundamental example. This is this example of the back. Okay, so just so you keep that for reference. Okay. So just so in general you just forget about this the general idea is to forget about this interpretation and to define an operat in terms of structure operation, this minus this operation on function. So now is the example of little disks. Okay, so this is the so this is an operat in spaces. And it consists of a collection of spaces, Dn of R. And this is the picture of a point in the spaces. So it's an element. So taking the little n disk spaces, so the spaces Dnr consists of collection of R little n disks with different interior inside a fixed unit n disk. So you see, this is the picture of the configuration of four little disks in D2. Okay? And the little disks are indexed from one, have to be indexed from one to four in this case. So D2, this is because this is a two-dimensional picture. Okay? And the important point is this. So you see the little disk can touch each other on the boundary. But the important point that the interiors don't overlap. And you can, what I can say that if you have such a configuration of little disk, you can take the centers of a little disk, and then what you get is a configuration of four points, Z1, Z2, Z3, Z4, inside the interior of D2. Okay, on general inside of the interior of D2. Okay, so this F, D, N circle R, this is the configuration space of R discount points in D, N circle. Okay, so configuration means that you the points are pairwise different. Okay. And you have this map, which forget about the radius of the little disk and just retain the data at the center. And the claim is that this map is a homotopy equivalent, which means that up to homotopy. If you want only to look at the homotopy of this space, you can forget about the radius. Okay. So this space entirely determines how homotopy invariances to the space D2, D, T, and R. Okay. So now the question, the operat of little n disk is the collection of less spaces. Okay. D and R. So PR is D and R. So the operat in topological spaces. You have an action of a symmetric group, you have an obtuse action, which is given by input for indexing. So if it works, I can try to give one example here. Okay, so for instance, if I want to take the action of a transposit 2, 3 of this configuration, then I just apply 2, change 3 to 2, and 2 to 3. Okay, so that way you get an action of all permutations on very little disk spaces. You can also define an action of sigma n on this on the configuration space. Okay, but what you don't, what you have on little disk spaces and not on configuration spaces are operatic composition operations. So operations of this form, I And the best is to give a picture of this composition of relations. So this is an element. So you see this is an element in. D23. This is an element in D22. And the operation returns a configuration of 4 utilities. Okay. And the idea so to compose this configuration of 3 little disks with this one of 2 little disks, basically you just rescale the ambient unit disk to plug this configuration in the second little disk of this configuration, and you forget about this second, this small disk. Okay, so you get this configuration, and again, you have to perform a little disk, a shift of a little disk indexing, which mounts this indexing shift in this operation. Okay, so that's the basic definition of the structural maps. The prime, so this gives the structure of the indexer prime. And what you, so this was used to detect the for loop spaces. And basically what you can see is that any such configuration of the disk can be used to define, so it's in that case, so it's such any configuration of R little disk can be used to define an R fault operation on the for loop spaces. Okay. And the claim, the main statement of Portman-Fort and Peter May, is that it is giving such an action is enough to reconstruct the structure of this function space, to retrieve this function space. So giving an action of dn on some y is enough to reconstruct an x such that y is equivalent to the gain of x. Okay, so that was the initial motivation. Okay, so let's continue. So we have so that you have to remember that we have the little disk of Pratt, this collection of spaces. Okay, so this collection of spaces, the spaces formed by little disk configuration, equip this action of a symmetry group with this vessel structural maps. And now I have to explain what are the chromology, or we have to explain what is the homology and the chromology of the little disk of parts. Okay. So in general, what you can do, you start from a part in topological spaces. What you can do is you can take the singular homology of a space. So for my purpose, I'm going to do rational homotopy theory, and therefore I'm going to use the homology with rational coefficients. So P is not part in P top, okay? So it basically consists of a collection of spaces, PR, and you take the homology of each space, okay? So what you get is a collection of modules, of graded modules. And I claim that this collection forms not part in graded modules. Okay? Because you have this from the picture, so I can, so the action of the symmetry loop jets, so you have an action of sigma R on PR, which induces an action in homology. And what you also get are operatic composition operations of this form. Okay. So you see you have the structure composition operation of this operat, P, which takes an element in Pk, an element in Pl, and returns an element in Pk plus n minus 1. So you consider the map induced by this topological operation in homology. And here this is just the QNF map. So it's just the QNF map, which goes from the tensor product to the homology of the Cartesian product. Okay, so that way, you get something which is purely algebraic, which takes an element the kth component of this homology, an element in the nth component of this homology, and returns the element in the k plus n minus 1 object. So this inner product in graded modules then can be used to encode algebraic functions in graded modules. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to consider things which are dual, which are defined at the cohomology level, and then I need this assumption, I need this finiteness assumption. So in that case, if I assume this, if I consider the cohomology of the spaces, PR, then you have an extra structure, it's a collection of commutative algebras with a cup product. And this object, so you have a dual structure, which is called a Kropa solution. So Kropa just means the dual thing of Kropas. Okay. It's a Kropa in graded commutative algebra. So in the frog, I use the name of a graded Kropa to refer to this kind of structure. So it's a collection of graded commutative algebras. And Kropa means that you have maps which are just dual to this composition operation. Dual means that goes in the converse direction. Okay. And you produce these maps as follows. So again, the first step, you take the map induced by the composition, by the composition of P at the topological level. Okay, so the composition goes from Pk cross Pl to Pk plus L minus 1. So if you apply the cohomology, you get a map that goes the other way around. Okay. And now, it turns out that under this assumption, so you still have a QNF map which goes from the tensor product of this commutative algebra to this, to the cohomology of a Cartesian product. So this map is not an isogeneral general, but it is so if you assume this finiteness assumption. So, okay. So this implies that you can compose this map induced by the composition operation at the topological level with the inverse of the QNF isomorphism to get a genuine operation which takes an element in this cohomology and returns an element in this tensor point. Okay. So the corpus structure is explained by this. So the collection of this cohomology algebras and these maps which are given by this component. So you only need a map, oops, which goes from this side up to this side. Okay. So you will get something which is dual to the structure of that part in graded modules.
And Hopf structures are respective.
Yeah, and also this maps, Hopf means that these maps are maps of commutative algebras, of great commutative algebras. Okay. The other way around, that you can see that the commutative algebra products preserve the periodic composition products. Okay. So the structure is intertwined well. So to do rational homotopy, that's only significant point. To do rational homotopy theory, I will need both structures. I will need the commutative algebra structure to retrieve the homotopy of the spaces underlying higher price, and I need to keep track of the composition operation to retrieve the upper function. So I try to. So the goal now is to check what are these operas in the case of little n disk. And there's first the homology, I explain the social homology. And then there is a theorem which has been computed by Fred Cohen, so it's a consequence of the theorem of Fred Cohen. So you can give, so the claim that if you, in the case of little n disk, you can give a description of this operand, the homology of Dn, by generators and relations. Okay. And basically it says that it's the operand Poisson n minus 1, which encodes graded Poisson algebra structures. Credit in the sense that the Poisson bracket is something which is an operation which raises degrees by n minus 1. So this result means that this operand, you can give a description of this operand by representation.
It should be 1 minus n.
Sorry?
1 minus n.
No, n minus 1, the homological credit.
No, for n2 it's negative.
No, for n equals 2 it's...
It's Kirchhoff, right? It's negative.
Yes, but okay. Yeah. No, but, okay, you will see the degree because so So you have two ways to see this. You can say that you can give a presentation of this applied by generators and variations, or you can also check that the homology of the components are identified with some kind of Poisson monomials. I'm going to use both interpretations. So this is our part of Poisson monomial algebra. So how to retrieve the representation? So you look at DM2, okay, the space of conventions of two little disks. And what you can see actually, if you take two little disks, so you can start with the configuration of two little disks, and two. So first thing, you can forget about the radius. So you get a configuration of 2 points. So as I said, this map is our component. So if you don't care about the cross structure, then you can use this space instead of the space of configuration of little disks. And then you can still map this space, so it's still homotopy equivalent to Sn minus 1, the sphere of dimension n minus 1. And this map is just the map which carries this configuration p1, p2 to the vector space divided by its norm. So this map is a homotopy equivalent. So this means that the homology of this space, Dn2, is the same as the homology of the n minus 1 sphere. So in homology, this means also that in this homology, you basically have two components, two. So you have the fundamental class of a point, and it turns out that this fundamental class of a point represents a commutative point operation, if you look at the upper structure. And you have also the fundamental class of Sn minus 1, which has degree n minus 1. And this represents another operation with two inputs on the same part. And what you can check, so if you look at so first, you have this great symmetry relation, so which says that the product, if you permute the inputs, you get the same result. And in this operation, if you permute the inputs, then you get the same result up to a sign which is given by the minus 1 to add to the dimension. Okay. And what you can also check, you can also compute this you can compute this composition operations on these generators, these generating classes, and what you can check that you have these variations. Okay. So this is the standard algebraic formalism, which means very practical setting. This means that if you take this operation with two inputs, if you plug another copy, you see this, if I denote this by mu, then this is exactly the composite of this mu, if you know the copy of mu at the first place, okay, if you perform this indexing shift. And this is a composite of mu, you have another copy of mu at the second place. So you can check your best composite width in homology, and you have also best variations. So the standard, you can check that this operation satisfies the standard Jacobian relation, and also the Poisson relation. So this is what I mean when I say that this S-grade modulus represent the Poisson. Okay, and also, so you can, there are two things actually. You can check that this elements in the homology satisfies the best variation within this grade modulus, and you can also check that all variations can be deduced from this generating variations. Okay. So this means that in the homology of DNR, all elements can be identified with composite, with operating composites, so composites of this sense. Okay, here. of S-generating neural generations. Modulo, the general associativity and reiteration of operas, an oration that you deduce from this identity. So that's a picture of homology. And for the cohomology, you have something which is slightly different, which is the so it's some kind of straightforward generation of Arnold theorem, which is the compos. You have said that the DNR, so this is homotopy equivalent to the conformation space of all points in Dn. Okay. And you can give a presentation of this algebra by generators and relations. So what you get is this expression. Okay, so I'm going to explain. So you can check that the cohomology of this space, so it's a symmetric algebra on certain number of generators, omega ij, which are associated to each pair of distinct numbers between 1 and r. Okay, so this omega ij is an element of degree n minus 1. So now I should say it's a cohomological degree. Maybe I should put an upper star. Degree in cohomology. And you have this symmetry or anti-symmetry relation again. And so if you look at the you take this symmetric algebra, so it's a polynomial algebra in the graded sense, and you divide by you take the quotient over the ideal, generating that this omega ij squared is supposed this element, which says that omega ij squared is equal to zero, and this element, which gives which is called, we call the Arnold relation. Okay, so actually, it's a graded algebra. Okay, maybe I should say a few words. So, for instance, if you take if n is 2, the case where n is 2, and you can replace this space, the little trees by the complex plane. And in the Durham, you have representative of the spaces in the Durham cohomology with complex coefficients, which are given by the standard forms d of z I minus g j over z I minus c j. So it's an element degree 1. Of the cohomology of this complex plane. So this is also the cohomology of a pure bright group on R strands if n is 2. And you can also give a relationship between this, you can also make a relationship between this definition, this computation and Fatwan computation explicit. Okay. So I mean if I take the bracket, so this is the bracket between the homology and the cohomology. If I take this class, if I apply to some element of the Poisson path, okay, so it's an element in the, so it represents an element in the homology, and what you get is 1, if this pi is given by this Poisson monomial, okay, but it's just a product of x1, xi, xj, and you just put this xj in this bracket, forget it, okay. And xr, and it is 0 over ys. Okay. So we are using that the expression of the Poisson prime in terms as a collection of vector spaces spanned by Poisson monomials. Okay. So this is an instance of a Poisson monomial. Okay. So in principle, so this duality relation enable you to compute the corporate component of S guys, of S omega ij's, and since the omega ij's generate the cohomology of little d spaces in the commutative algebra sense, you can compute the corporate component of any element in this cohomology. Okay. So I'm not going to do that, so it's a simple exercise. Okay. So now I want to do rational homotopy theory. So the goal is to So I will do things in the context of spaces. So the goal is to retrieve the collection of spaces from the collection of these commutative algebras. And if I had the commutative algebra structure, is to retrieve also the value composition operation of this DNR. So I'd like to give some quick preparations on the Sullivan model. So this model is given by a functor. So it's now I'm going to move from the topological spaces to simple concepts. So that I'm going to use. That if you consider the onomatopoeia of topological spaces, this is the same as the onomatopoeia of simplicial sets. This is the case of simplicial sets. One direction you can take the. In one direction you have the singular complex, which takes a topological space to a simplicial set. And to go the other way around, you can use the geometric realization. So for me, spaces are the same as simplicial sets. And the Sullivan functor is some kind of generalization of the Durham cochain complex, which takes a simplicial set and returns a differential grid commutative algebra. Okay, so the best, so it is determined by its value on simplices. So if you take this simplices, and this omega upper star of delta n, it's just basically what instead of taking C-infinity forms, you just consider polynomial forms. So it means polynomials on x1, xn, and the differentials of the variables dx1, dxn, which are assumed to be of degree 1. And so you have this functor from spaces to DG commutative algebras. You want to go back from DG commutative algebras to spaces. And for that, what you can check that this functor has a left adjoint. So it's a functor which goes the other way around, the direction that you want, from DG commutative algebra to simplicial sets. And it is given by this expression. So Gn, so this simplicial set in dimension n, is given by the set of DG commutative algebra maps from A to this cochain DG algebra of the simplex delta n. And if you want to something which is homotopy meaningful, which has the right homotopy invariance properties, you have to take a derived functor of this GA. And this is what this bracket notation means. So it's Sullivan, it's a Sullivan realization functor. And it's given by so derived functor just means that you take this adjoint on a good resolution of A. Good means cofibrant. You cannot apply this GA to A directly because it doesn't have it's not homotopically well behaved. You have to take a derived functor means that you have to apply it to some kind of resolution of A in the case of DG commutative algebras. So I'm going to soon to the next part compute the resolution of such commutative algebras. Okay, to determine the best spaces as the cohomology of the system. The claim is that if X satisfies some reasonable assumptions, if you take X, you apply this functor to go from X to DG commutative algebras, and you go back to spaces by using this realization functor, so you get another space, X cube. And this, in some sense, this space defines the realization of X. So this mapping gives some kind of, performing this mapping, what you get, you lift the rationalization functor on modules to a category of spaces. So maybe one statement, but if you take, so why does it decide to be called the rationalization? Because, for instance, in degree, if you take the homotopy of this space, so integrally bigger than, larger than 2, where the homotopy forms an abelian group that you get with the test to the rationalization of this abelian group if star is larger or equal to 2. And if star is 1, what you get is a Maltsev completion. In the case was in dimension 1, the degree 1 homotopy is just the Maltsev completion of pi 1. Rationalization from top defines the counterpart of variable spaces of rationalization from top of abelian groups and non-abelian groups.
Sorry, can you recall the topology on this A bracket? How do you define the topology? I mean,
so it's a simplicial set. So okay, so
two. No, like, yeah, on this. I mean, starting from the definition, starting from this line, yeah.
Yeah.
But so what is a simplex? Yeah.
It's a simplex, just a. Just a map from A to the content.
Okay, so you've given this as a simplification set already. Okay.
So now what the idea is to do that for. So you want to lift this construction to a product. So, and for that, what I would like to do is to take the category of. So I'm still relying on this commutative DG algebra model. And I consider commutative DG algebras, collection of DG algebras. That form a core product in the category of DG commutative algebra. So I call that a Hopf DG core. And I would like to do is to see this category of Hopf DG core product as a model for the rational homotopy of our parts in simplicial sets and topological space. Okay, but there is a big problem. Because if you start an operator in simplicial sets, and if you apply the Sullivan functor, okay, so maybe a star. To the collection of spaces that underlie this part, so you take the Omega star pk plus n minus 1. So you can still, so it's the functor is functorial, so the composition map which goes from pk to cross pl to pk plus n minus 1 gives a map from the way around in the Sullivan cochain complex. And but now the problem is that you can't go into this space, but what you only have, you have a Knuth map which goes that way. Okay. So what you want is a corporate, which takes an element here or returns an element in this tensor product. That this doesn't work, but the Knuth map, which goes that way, is just a quasi-isomorphism of commutative DG algebra. It's not an iso. You can only invert this map up to homotopy by going from some kind of complicated zigzags. So you don't have a proper. You don't have to define proper.
If you define kind of complete tensor product as a middle even term, already, it's a cooperator, right?
No, not at all. It's just a quasi-iso.
I mean, it's tensor product. It's a finite thing. This is why it's not a one. But you can kind of define
complete. This one is much bigger. What you get is something like the Heilenberg-Silber map.
Even okay.
So things are completely.
Even on the completion of the.
Even the completion. So this space is much bigger than this one. And so if you look at the other functor, there is no problem. If you look at the adjoint, this one is symmetric monoidal, which means that in that case, you don't face this problem. So it means that if you take the question of simplicial sets associated to Hopf, the G corpus, if you want to go the other way around, there is no problem. In that case, you do have compositional products, because in that case, so we have a map which goes the converse direction. And this map is a bijection. It's a bijection of simplicial set. There is no problem. And so you have, if you start with the corpus, then you can use first the functorality to get a map of those from the image of the tensor product to this g dot of k, k plus n minus 1. And you can compose this map with the inverse of this iso to to get a map load from this Cartesian point to this object. So we see that this collection of spaces do form an upright in simplicial sense. So now it enables you to sort out this problem. And so we have a functor that way from DG hop properties to simplicial set. And to fix the problem with the solenoid functor, what you just do is to pick a right adjoint of this functor, which exists for general reasons, whatever it is. So this functor do have a right adjoint, which gives, so you do get something which is some kind of operatic replacement of a solenoid functor on spaces. So it's a functor on a Galois star sharp, which goes to simplicial sets to DG commutative corpora. And you can check that it has the right behavior. I mean, if you, so don't worry about that. So they form a Quine pair, which means that you can derive these functors. In the good cases, so if you have to consider a prod R which has good chromatopical properties, and which is a fixed cohomology, is degree-wise finitely generated as a Q module in each RIT. And in that case, so if you take this functor with R sharp of R, it's an operator, and the components of this operator, if you forget about the operator structure, you take the solenoid cochain DG algebra up to homotopy, to quasi-isomorphism. So it means that you have just taken this collection of DG commutative algebra, where you have no corpus structure, then you get something you have been able to define by using this ID, a collection of DG commutative algebra, which does inherit the corpus structure, and which are quasi-isomorphic to the solenoid commutative DG algebra. So this means that you can apply the construction, the junction trick, to get the right behavior, the right simulation functor on a part. So now what you get, so you start on a part, you get another collection of spaces, R, Q of sharp, which are in each, for each R the same as the Sullivan oscillation functor, and they, that what you keep now is an upper structure of the spaces.
There's a statement by intrinsic formality, but
so just to recap what I would like to do in the next part. Okay, so reminder, so I have this part of Italian disk. I've explained that the homology is the Poisson part of degree n minus 1. If I take the cohomology, then I get something which is just a dual object, the Poisson proper. And I can rephrase the topological intrinsic formality theorem before. If I start the copper operator with this assumption, so if I assume that the cohomology is this copper, okay, the same, so it should be C. Okay, so I assume that the cohomology is the same as the cohomology of little and this. If I assume that the cohomology is the Poisson operator of degree n minus 1, for some n bigger than 3. And if in some cases I have an extra invertive in isomorphism, then I claim that you can produce a map which is a recurrent, which goes from the rationalization of this operator to the Sullivan realization of this Poisson corpus. This applies to Gn, to the formality of Gn. So the first purpose and the next part, so we have, this abstract definition in terms of derived functor. In the next part, I would like to make this subject more explicit. That's where Drinfeld-Connolly algebra is short. Okay, so.
May I ask you a question? So this red one slide there, the joint pattern that you defined, not
yep.
This picture, but this G star and this omega star sharp, so this it's over for the rational simplicial set, so it's so do you use somewhere that you use rational coefficients or
yeah.
So it's well defined over rational coefficients or over real, so
you can define it over any characteristic zero field actually.
Both G and
exactly, because so for instance if you want the definition of G here, because it's the same as the so just take you can take rational coefficients here, okay, or complex coefficient if you like. You can also consider over it's not necessary to consider the Sullivan functor, you can take over so it's also it's already explained in Sullivan paper, you need some good cochain DG algebra functor. Yeah. You can take, for instance, C infinity, Durand forms, and the syntheses.
But for definition of G and this right adjoint of G, nothing requires. The existence is just like that.
Yeah, the right adjoint exists for general reasons. And you can also make this right adjoint explicit on some good resolution of.
So you prove the existence just via the precise model.
You can prove the existence of this adjoint, but you can check that the functor, for instance, satisfies the adjoint functor, the hypothesis of adjoint functor theorem.
Okay.
But you can also give some kind of effective construction of this adjoint, which you need to prove this this statement.
I'm a bit lost about resolutions because to put it very naively, you have these DNs. Okay, that's basically the configuration spaces of K points on Rn. Okay, and these are simplicial sets.
Yeah,
but they are cofibrant already, aren't they? As simplicial sets.
The DNs are topological spaces.
As they are cofibrant.
Yeah.
So we're going to need something cofibrant resolution.
Yeah, so every simplicial set is cofibrant.
Yeah.
But I'm dealing with simplicial set actually with the extra structure. I want things which are cofibrant as operands in simplicial sets.
So you say the configuration spaces are not cofibrant as an operand.
So configuration spaces are not operand at all. So
they're not. Yeah, okay, they're not exactly operands.
Okay. So for instance.
Yeah, of course.
So basically, to have an operand which is good to have an operand which is cofibrant, has good homotopical properties. Uh-huh. You need operands which are in some sense free with respect to compositions.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, for instance, you have a good model of DL, which is the Felton-Michelson operand, which consists of compactifications of the configuration points. And this one is cofibrant.
This is cofibrant.
This one is cofibrant as an operand in topological space.
So, you have this. So you have a nice replacement.
Yeah, for instance, in this picture here, if you pass to the gate of topological spaces, you can take R to be this Felton MacPherson operand.
I see. That's okay. Also, it's very good.
Can you maybe explain in very simple words why it all works once you go to Hopf at the operatic composition level? Why it works? Why it started to work? Before you say it's impossible, there is an automatic.
Yeah, because.
But why hope is doing things? Why?
Why it's. you mean a physical.
Yeah, but you remember some extra structure, no. Then it started to work. I mean, it looks like a mystery. Why?
Yeah, why? The point that. So, the point that this functor, it works because. So, it's, so this one doesn't work, okay? And the right adjoint works. That's the only trick. Very often, when I have an adjunction, I have a functor which is not symmetric monoidal, which is not well behaved with respect to tensor product, but the other one is well behaved. In that case, you can always fix the problems. That's a general statement. If you have an adjunction between operands, between base categories, M and G are symmetric monoidal categories. So if this G preserves tensor products,
inverse transcends, but not f. Then you can fix the problem. You can. That's exactly the point. So if g, so f n of this.
Can you raise a bit just because it's impossible to see? Yeah.
So q. So suppose n n are symmetric monomial categories. Suppose that this functor is strongly symmetric monomial. But the left adjoint is only a lax monomial or lax comonoidal, I don't remember, but it's lax comonoidal. So this means that you cannot apply this functor to a part, but you can apply this one. Okay, this one is symmetric monomial, so it induces something. You can apply this functor to an operand in N to get an operand in N. So this is basically the case, yeah, basically, because you have this as a mode. And the claim that in this case, there exists an F sharp, which is the left adjoint of this G, and which can be used as an operandic replacement of this F. Which fixes the point with f. And that's basically what I'm using. Mm-hmm.